You may have noticed there was no podcast yesterday and that it's really, really late today. I have a good reason. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 14 of the Real Spies, Real Lives podcast. This is where we talk about writing, spies, and writing about spies, except not much today. I'm your host, espionage author P.A. Duncan. The podcast is a day late, well more than a day late. And anyone who knows me knows I take deadlines seriously. So not having the podcast episode out on April 11th, as I promised after taking last week off, is not something I do lightly. Wednesday evening, April 10th, I received word that a longtime writer friend had died after a series of heart attacks. To me, she was so young, only 61, which, yes, means that she's only a little younger than me. But that's not the point. We were writing colleagues and friends. Mary Teresa Decker and I first met online for a weekly flash fiction contest called Flash Friday, where we'd receive a writing prompt, either visual, situational, or a word sometimes. We'd post our results on the Flash Friday website, and we all took turns judging. No prizes other than the recognition that we had the ability, at least that day, to put words together coherently. Mary's stories were always sublime, sometimes serious, sometimes rolling on the floor humorous, and sometimes snarky with the best snark. When it was her turn to judge, she always was careful to tell you what she loved, yes, loved, about your writing. But she didn't shy away from giving good writing advice. Flash Friday evolved into the Shenandoah Valley Writers, which Mary joined. Then came the Author Transformation Alliance, of which Mary was a charter founder and member. She was always one of the first to step up and help someone with any issue related to writing and publication. When ATA began having annual writing retreats, Mary was quite often one of the first people to volunteer to teach a workshop. She was the Scrivener Empress. She knew things about that program I doubt the original coders did, but then Mary's day job was as a software developer. But she could also teach the anachronistic, like which sword was appropriate for which historical era, what kind of person would wield that sword, how to hold said sword, and so on. To one of our earliest in-person writing retreats, she brought a whole collection of swords to illustrate her workshop. The most fun I've had in years. I don't write about swords, but it was fascinating. One of the swords was a claymore, which my Scots blood begged to hold, and Mary obliged. Mary loved to write. More than that, she loved coming up with ideas about what to write about. Drawn from her experience as a reserve police officer, she had the idea to write something titled, "Does This Ballistic Vest Make Me Look Fat?" Mary loved talking about writing. When our writing retreat went virtual because of COVID, she would always come to my Zoom rooms for my workshops early so we could talk writing for a few minutes before the workshop started. I'd give her aviation info, she'd give me police procedure. We disagreed about what was good policing, but we respected each other as writers. Mary offered to review a story of mine I knew she'd hate because a policeman was the bad guy, but she did it, and her comments to me were a writer's comments, all differences put aside. Mary was one of the most decent human beings I have ever met. Kind, willing to help in any way she could, always with a smile that lit a room. She was one of the primary caretakers for her husband's nonverbal autistic brother, and she always spoke of him with such joy, never as any sort of burden. She was simply a magnificent person in every way. At the first in-person writer's retreat I went to, she gave me a bunny stuffy, a stuffed animal of a bunny, a really beautiful one. I'm unaccustomed to anyone giving me something when there's no known or special occasion, so I asked her why. And she said, "I know you're allergic to cats and dogs, but I wanted you to have a friend." Mary became at that moment one of the handful of people who have made the Ice Queen cry. It's a running joke among my friends and among my former employees. But that gesture, bringing an adult, a stuffed animal, because she wanted me to have a friend, was who Mary was. Like me, Mary was a sci-fi geek of the space opera variety, and we enjoyed geeking out on all things sci-fi. She wrote her own space opera novel called A Year Among the Stars, about a prisoner put on a ship headed out into deep space who discovers they're there because they were once a pilot. Each chapter is one day of the trip and of the prisoner pilot's life. And this quickly became one of my favorite sci-fi stories ever. It sort of embodied Mary. It had humor. It had pathos. It made you think about things. It had a statement to make on social justice. Wednesday, after hearing this news, and Thursday, when I should have been scheduling this episode, I was incapable of much cogent thought. It took me until midday Thursday to figure out exactly what it was I was feeling. And that was anger. Pure, unadulterated rage. I know from the deaths of my parents and brother that anger is one of the stages of grief you have to get through. But I also realized I wasn't angry at Mary. I couldn't be. I was angry for her loss, and that there was nothing anywhere, anytime I could do about it. I lost a friend and a colleague. But the world has lost a storyteller at a time when we need the stories a writer like Mary could tell. I know I have to let go of that anger, and I will, but I need it for a while. It's what I have left of Mary, to sit beside me and make me a better writer. No commercial this week. I'm not in a temperament for it. But I will mention a Netflix series I recently watched. It's another in their Turning Point series where the producers go in depth into a period in history. This one is titled The Bomb and the Cold War. It picks up from immediately after the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and moves forward to present day, showing how atomic weapons have somehow shaped our foreign and domestic policies. It's a fascinating deep dive into the Cold War, things that happened, people that were involved in it, and if, unlike me, you were born after the Cold War allegedly ended, this will help you understand why people my age don't trust Russia. Again, a well-researched look into what may be history for you, but I lived it. Turning Point, The Bomb, and the Cold War on Netflix. And speaking of history, if you've never read Amor Toll's A Gentleman in Moscow, which you should have, you can watch an excellent adaptation of it on Paramount Plus. Two of the 8 episodes have dropped, and it's a wonderful adaptation of Toll's book, which was one of my favorite reads in the past decade. Ewan McGregor, Be Still My Heart, plays Count Rostov, who was miraculously not executed by the Bolsheviks after the 1917 revolution, but who is sentenced to life imprisonment in Moscow's Metropole Hotel, though not in his former luxury suite, but in a drafty, ill-heated attic room. If he steps outside the Metropole, even a step outside the front door, he'll be shot on sight as a counter-revolutionary. Not only is A Gentleman in Moscow a good snapshot of history, but you get to see the inner workings of the Bolsheviks' Cheka, which was the ancestor of the KGB, which was the ancestor of the SVR and FSB in Russia. All the performances and characterizations are wonderful, so have a look. It's a really great series. This episode, I wasn't going to do a reading, but I changed my mind. I'm going to read Mary Decker's, by the way, she wrote as M.T. Decker, about the author input at the end of her novel, A Year Among the Stars. And if I get through this without undue emotion, it'll be a shock. Quote, I have it on rather good authority that I was indeed born and did not, as some claim, suddenly appear to a fanfare of angelical giggles. Anything after that is all circumstantial evidence and hearsay. I am your typical bass-playing, historical reenactor, computer geek, science nerd, and artist type, which is to say, not very typical at all. Rather than wishing I was born in another era, I've been determined to live in every era and every moment I can. And having worked on filling up my life with hobbies and crafts and odd skills, there was only one thing to do with them. Write. I develop software to keep my mind sharp and to keep bread on the table. I write because I can't not write. And it puts flowers on the table as well, as the time matter transducer and the murder weapon and the chemistry set for discovering who the murderer is. I live in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia with my husband and Maurice, the cat who adopted us. The rest is anybody's guess. End quote. Now you see what we've lost. Mary would want her friends to live their best lives and to keep doing what she did best, right. And I'm sure she'd tell me, she'd remind me, don't forget to keep an eye out for spies. Goodbye, Mary. Love you. The proceeding has been a production of Unexpected Paths Media, copyright 2024, all rights reserved. Join us next week for a new episode of the Real Spies, Real Lives podcast. And as always, and especially now, Slava Ukraini!